I asked him then what kind of work he had and what wages he would pay. He told me that his work contained many delights, and for my wages I should be his heir. I asked him what kind of house he had and what other servants. So he told me that his house contained all the delicious things in the world, and that his servants were his children. Then I asked how many children he had. He said he had 3 daughters, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that I should marry them all if I wanted. Then I asked how long he would want me to live with him, and he told me, as long as he lived himself. Well, asked Christian, what conclusion did you and the old man come to at last? Why, at first I was somewhat inclined to go with the man, for I thought he spoke fairly. But looking at his forehead as I talked with him, I saw written, Put off the old man with his deeds. And what then? Then it came burning hot into my mind that whatever he said, and however he flattered, when he got me home to his house, he would sell me as a slave. So I told him he could quit talking, for I would not come near the door of his house. Then he reviled me and told me he would send one after me who would make my way miserable. So I turned to leave him, but just as I turned, I felt him take hold of my flesh and give me such a deadly jerk backward that I thought he had pulled part of me after himself. This made me cry, Oh, wretched man! And I went on my way up the hill. Now when I had gotten about halfway up, I looked behind and saw someone coming after me swift as the wind. He overtook me just about where the shelter stands. Christian said, Just there did I sit down to rest, but being overcome with sleep, I lost this scroll out of my coat. Wait, good brother, hear me out, said Faithful. As soon as the man overtook me, he knocked me down, and I lay there like I was dead. When I came to myself again, I asked him why he had treated me so. He said, Because of your secret interest in the first Adam. And with that he struck me another deadly blow on the breast, and beat me down backward so that I lay at his feet as before. So when I came to myself again, I cried to him, Have mercy! But he said, I don't know how to show mercy, and with that knocked me down again. No doubt he would have killed me if someone had not come by and told him to stop. Who told him to stop? I did not know him at first, but as he went by I saw the holes in his hands and his side, that I concluded that he was our Lord. So I went up the hill. That man who overtook you was Moses, said Christian. He spares no one, nor does he know how to show mercy to those who break his law. I know it very well, said Faithful. It was not the first time he has met with me. It was he who came to me when I lived securely at home and told me he would burn my house over my head if I stayed there. But didn't you see the house that stood there on the top of the hill on the side where Moses met you? Yes, and the lions, too, before I came to it. But I think the lions were asleep, and because there was so much daylight left, I passed by the porter and came down the hill. He told me that he saw you go by, but I wish you had stopped at the house, for they would have showed you so many wonderful things that you would never forget. But tell me, did you meet anyone in the Valley of Humility? Yes, said Faithful, I met with Discontent, who tried to persuade me to go back with him. His reason for doing so was that the valley was totally without honor. He told me that to go there was to disobey friends like Pride, Arrogance, Self-Conceit, Worldly Glory, and others, who would be offended if I made a fool of myself by wading through this valley. How did you answer him? I told him that although all these that he named might claim kinship with me, and rightly so, for they were my relatives in the flesh, yet since I became a pilgrim they have disowned me, just as I have rejected them, and therefore it is as though they had never been in my family. I also told him that he had quite misrepresented this valley, for before honor is humility, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore, said I would rather go through this valley to the honor accounted so by the wisest, than choose that which he considered worthy of our affections. Did you meet with anything else in the valley? Yes, I met with shame. but of all those that I encountered on my pilgrimage, he, I think, bears the wrong name, for he is without shame. Why? What did he say to you? Why, he objected to religion itself, saying it was a pitiful, low, sneaking business for a man to care about religion. He said that a tender conscience was an unmanly thing, and that a man who watches his words and ways loses the freedom that is rightfully his in this age, and makes him look ridiculous. He also objected to religion on the grounds that few mighty, rich, or wise people care about it. They are not foolish enough to risk losing everything for the unknown. He said that most of those who were pilgrims were poor and uneducated. Yes, he went on at this rate about a great many more things, that it was a shame to sit whining and mourning under a sermon, and a shame to come sighing and groaning home, that it was a shame to ask my neighbor's forgiveness for petty fault or to make restitution. He said also that religion made a man seem odd to great people because of its objection to a few vices, which he called by more dignified names, and made a man respect the lower classes because they were in the same religious fraternity. And wasn't this, said he, a shame? And what did you say to him? Asked Christian. Say? I didn't know what to say at first. He kept at me so that my face became red. But at last I began to think about the fact that that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in God's sight. And I thought, this shame tells me what men are. But he tells me nothing about what God or the Word of God is. And then I thought, at the day of judgment, we shall not be awarded death or life according to the bullying spirits of this world, but according to the wisdom and law of the highest. Therefore, thought I, what God says is best. Though all the men in the world are against it, seeing then that God prefers a tender conscience, seeing that they who make themselves fools for the kingdom of heaven are wisest, and seeing that the poor man who loves Christ is richer than the greatest man in the world that hates him. I said, shame, depart! You are an enemy to my salvation. If I listen to you instead of my sovereign Lord, how can I look him in the face when he returns? If I am ashamed of his ways and servants now, how can I expect his blessing? But this shame was a bold villain. I could hardly get rid of him. He kept following me and whispering in my ear about the various things that are wrong with religion. But at last I told him it was futile for him to continue this business. For those things that he disdained, I valued the most. So finally, I got past this troublesome one. And when I had gotten rid of him, I began to sing. The trials that those men do meet withal that are obedient to the heavenly call are manifold and suited to the flesh, and come, and come, and come again afresh, that now or sometimes else we by them may be taken, overcome, and cast away. Oh, let the pilgrims then be vigilant and quit themselves like men. I am glad, my brother, that you withstood this villain so bravely, said Christian. For as you have said, I think he has the wrong name. He boldly follows us in the streets and attempts to put us to shame before all men, that is, to make us ashamed of that which is good. But if he was not himself without shame, he would never try to do what he does. But let us still resist him, for despite all his bragging, he only furthers the cause of fools. The wise shall inherit glory, said Solomon, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. For help against shame, said Faithful, I think we must cry to him who would have us be valiant for truth upon the earth. You speak the truth. But tell me, did you meet anyone else in that valley? No, said Faithful, I did not. For I had sunshine all the rest of the way through it, and also through the valley of the shadow of death. You fared better than I did then, Almost as soon as I entered into that valley, I began a long and dreadful battle with that foul fiend Apollyon. In fact, I thought he was going to kill me, especially when he got me down and crushed me to pieces, for as he threw me, my sword flew out of my hand. He even told me that he had me. But I cried to God, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my trouble. Then I entered into the valley of the shadow of death and had no light for almost half the way through it. Over and over I thought I was going to be killed there. But at last day broke, and the sun rose, and I went the rest of the way with far more ease and quiet.